Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Lamed Beis, the 132nd Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. The general topic for this Mizmor is David and Yerushalayim. This is the 13th of the 15 Shir HaMalos, and it is in fact the longest, standing at 18 Psukim. In fact, it is double the length of the one that is second to longest. It is divided into roughly three sections. The first five psukim, aleph to hey, are a oath that David makes to find the place of the Shechinah at all costs. Psukim vov to yud, 6 to 10, make the next section, the second section, in which it is a song of those who come to pay tribute to Yerushalayim. And finally, the last eight psukim is yud aleph to yud ches, or the oath of David to David about his sons and the chosenness of Yerushalayim. Let's look at the themes of this Mizmor. The general themes are twofold. The ideas explored are the idea of David and his legacy as the king, and the other is the chosenness of Yerushalayim. It starts off with David's work to get to Tzion and find the place of the Shechinah. He says, he swears that he'll never find any rest until he finds the Makom HaShechinah. Then it describes the Olei Regolim, those who come up to Yerushalayim, and their description of how they want to come to Yerushalayim. Let's go bow down, let's come to his Mishkan and bow to his footstool. And finally, the two ideas merge with the chosenness of David and the chosenness of Yerushalayim as they converge into an eternal covenant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki vochar Hashem b'tzion ivo l'moshav loy. Hashem chooses Yerushalayim as his eternal dwelling place. Shom atzmiach keren l'David orachti ner l'mishichoy. And that's where I'm going to bring about the growing of the seed of David. It is interesting that there's a parallel between the second section and the third section of this Mizmor. When the people are coming up and they are talking about coming to Yerushalayim, it's almost as if there's a fulfillment in it in the last section, which is the oath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shvuah of Hashem, of fulfillment. So for instance, if you read through it blow by blow, in Pasuk Zayin, Avol Mishkanosov Nishtachaveh La'adam Raglov, the people are saying, let's go to his Mishkan, to his sanctuary, and pray and bow down to him. Hashem promises, Ki vochar Hashem b'tzion yivol l'mashallah, he wants this place, he wants Zion to be the place of resting. They ask in the second section, Kuma Hashem limnuchasecha, Hashem, get up, please, to your resting place. In the third section, he says, Zois menuchasi adeya, this is my ultimate resting place. They ask in the second section, Kohanecha yilbushu tzedek, in Pasuk Tes, let your Kohanim, your priests, be adorned in righteousness. And he responds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in Tes Zayin, in the third section, Kohanecha albish yesha, I will clothe them in glory. He asks in the second section, they ask in the second section, v'chasidecha yiranenu, let those who are the priests, let these people be able to sing, v'chasidecha ranenu yiranenu, in the third section it says. And finally, the last request in the second section is, b'avur David avdecha atashev p'nei mishichocha, and for the sake of David, don't turn away the face of your Messiah. And the last section closes with Shom Atzmiach Keren David Varachti Ler Limshichi. It is very clear that the requests made in the second section are directly paralleled to the answers and the Shavua made in the third section of Hashem responding to that. In fact, not only is the third section responding to the second section where the people are asking for it, it seems to be very clear that there's two oaths being made in this Mizmor. The first section is the oath and the sacrifice made by David, not even sleeping, to find the place of Tzion. And the last section is HaKadosh Baruch Hu swearing in return to say that David HaMelech, I will make sure that Tzion will be everlasting and you and your seed will be the leaders of it. So it's very, very clear that the third section is a reaction to both David's work and the people's requests of what Yerushalayim should be. It is worth noting that the pain and difficulty that when David HaMelech went through when finding Yerushalayim was not simple. Up to the times of David, which was almost 400 years of being in the land of Israel, the nation of Israel had not sufficiently been able to conquer the area of Yerushalayim from the Yevusi. They were able to get certain areas of it, but not the full amount of area until David was able to take it from the hands of the Yevusi, whether by overcoming the Ivrim and Pisrim, which is a very complicated idea as to what the defense mechanism was for Yerushalayim. But moreover than that, David Melech, when consulting with Shmuel and finding the Makom HaMikdash, also had to buy it from Arvona. So there was two dimensions of the sacrifice that David made to get there. When he was finding out about this, he was being pursued by Shaul HaMelech. There was a lot of sacrifice made by David to get there. Now, why, just as a side point, why was it that Hashem did not tell where the holy site of Yerushalayim was earlier? When you read the Sefer Devarim, you see, L'shichno sidrashu v'asa shaman, there's going to be a certain place and you're going to go there. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not be a little more articulate, a little more clear as to where that place is? The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim explains very simply for some very basic reasons. Number one is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told the nation of Israel where their holy site would be before they got to the land of Israel, then all the nations around would have gone there and burned it down and put minefields around it because they wouldn't want the nation of Israel to find their holy place. And in fact, history has showed this to be exactly true, since as soon as the nation of Israel were exiled from the land of Israel and two other religions were created after that, Christianity and Islam, they both commanded it as their own center as well. The Rambam also points out that in Moreh Nevuchim, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told them where the Beis HaMikdash was beforehand, then all the tribes would kill each other wanting it to have the prime real estate in their territory, which is why it was only revealed to them after the Chalukas HaAretz, after the division of the land. But there seems to be also another dimension, and that is that just like Avraham Avinu is always Lech Lecha, that he's always moving towards this unknown land, to the Eretz Amoriyah, but not specifically to a specific site, is our journey towards Yerushalayim, like David's was one which was unknown. It was going through the dark, trying to find the spirituality, trying to find that place. And that's our mission, our lifelong historical mission. In trying to understand the events behind our Mizmor, this Mizmor does have the memory or the mention of David that at the very beginning of it. And so it could be referring to when David HaMelech brought the Aron himself to Yerushalayim. And it does just seem to describe how we're bringing the Torah, the Aron, to Yerushalayim. So it could be reflecting that event in Shmuel Beis Perek Vav, in which David HaMelech does actually bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. According to this, it would mean that Meshichecha refers to David HaMelech. The king of the Messiah refers to David HaMelech, who was Moshuach, who was anointed. It is also possibly similar to what David HaMelech said to Shlomo on his deathbed. Pasuk Yud Beis talks about that if you keep my laws, then I will make sure that you'll have longevity and legacy. That's exactly what David HaMelech says to his son Shlomo when he gives him his last wishes in Melachim Aleph Perek Beis. The Ibn Ezra actually points out another dimension within David HaMelech's life, is that at the end of Shmuel Beis, when David HaMelech does a census and there was a terrible plague which ensued, David HaMelech at that point in time was Unesi, he was afflicted with the elders, but he had no Mishkan to turn to bring the Karbanos, and that's perhaps when he most needed a desire to have this place, this Makom Menucha for Hashem. It could also be that this was said by Shlomo HaMelech. Very simply, if you look at the end of Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah upon the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, which is found in Divrei Yamim Aleph, Divrei Yamim Beis, Perek Vav, Psukim Mem Beis to Mem Gimel, we see a very similar formulation, how he says, how Shlomo says, Atakuma Hashem Elokim Lenuchecha, Hashem, please get up to your rest, V'atov Aron Uzecha, the Aron of your strength, Kohanecha Hashem Elokim Yilbushu Tzeshua, V'chasidecha Yismuchu V'atov. It sounds like Shlomo is saying the similar words to this Mizmor, which might indicate that in fact this was in the first place said by Shlomo HaMelech upon this specific moment of anointing the Beis HaMikdash. The Chidah does point out, based on the Gemara, that this actually could have been said in earlier perspective by David HaMelech about the anointing of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and he wanted to bring the Aron into it, the gates would not open, which is why we learnt earlier on when we were studying Tehillim earlier on, it has to say Su'u Sharim Rasheichem twice, because the first time the gates would not open until he said this Mizmor Bavur David Avdecha, because of David, remember, and what was at stake at this moment in time was David HaMelech's name. Because if the gates would not open, it would demonstrate that the relationship he had with Bathsheba and the progeny that came out of that, the child who came out of that, which was Shlomo HaMelech ultimately, would have been disregarded, and therefore David's name would have been in the alleyways of history. This is why Bavur David Avdecha, this is the ultimate formulation and, in a certain sense, vindication of David's legacy. And the Radak does point out this could be referring to, on a more broader scope, it could be referring to Israel throughout history, where we're requesting for the Malchus Beis David, the Mashiach Ben David, to come back. Let's consider the places in our Twitter that this Mizmor appears. It doesn't appear wholesale, but there are a few references. So, for instance, Pasuk Dalad, where David HaMelech says, "Imetain shanos le'inai la'afapai tenuma," if I'm going to give sleep to my eyes, does sound like the formulation of Birkas HaMapil at night. Psukim ches to yud, kuma Hashem nimnuchasecha, atarim v'aronezecha, kohanecha yilbushu tzedek v'chasidecha yirenenu, bavu David odecha, atashay penim yishichecha. our psukim we say when taking out the Torah from the Aron, certainly on Simchas Torah, and in some nuschos in other places as well. And also Pasuk Zion, which is Navo l'mishkanosav nishtachavel adam raglov, let us come to your sanctuary and pray and bow down to the to your footstool, is referring to, is said at the beginning of Slichos and many nuschos. One pasuk we're going to look at in the spotlight, that's pasuk Ches, Kuma Hashem Nimnuchasecha, Hashem, please arise to your place of rest, V'atov Aronuzecha, you and your the Ark of your covenant, of your strength. This is interesting to contrast this to Moshe Rabbeinu's formulation of a similar statement in Parshas Ba'aloscha, Perek Yudin Bamidbar, Pasuk Lamed Hei, which we always say, V'ayhibin Soya Ha'aron, V'ayom Moshe, Kuma Hashem V'yofutsu Evecha, V'yonusu Mesanecha Miponecha, Hashem, please get up and scatter your enemies and let those who hate you be flee from in front of you. We say that when we bring out the Torah on a regular day, on a regular Shabbos as well. You notice a few differences in the formulation of Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. For difference number one, is that Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to almost like a war-like effort. We seem to be a contrast to David, where it's l'mnucha secha, it's actually in times of rest and a place of rest. Number two is that in Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be describing how Hashem will dispel the forces of evil outside and go out and dispel them, whereas when David HaMelech is formulating his way of describing Hashem's interaction with the world, the rest of the world, it sounds like it's an amokam menucha, everything else there does not seem to be enemies mentioned whatsoever. So there's a very interesting suggestion which is brought in the Sefer HaMa'amarim Melukat, which says a beautiful idea, and that is that there's two ways to dispel negative forces in the world. One is to go out and chase them away, which puts them into hiding or neutralizes them for the moment, but it doesn't really make them disappear. But there's a moment when the world comes to such a degree of tikkun, where it comes to such a degree of refinement, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in a certain sense, in the centerpiece in the world, and the rest of the world is at menucha, is at a state of rest. The difference is whether we're evoking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the work, Kuma Hashem, Hashem, go out and fight the enemies. Go and fight, like as Moshe Rabbeinu says, when he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kuma Hashem Yafutzo Ivecha. Or are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to retract in a certain sense, and we're going to be doing the work? David HaMelech is going to be searching out the Makom Menucha. He's going to be making the necessary effort to make this Makom Menucha. And at the center and at the core, there will be this vibrant place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imminent from in the world. And these are two different methodologies. Ultimately, the one that heralds in Mashiach, the Mashiach Ben David, is the one where we as human beings can carve out the space for Hashem rather than asking Hashem to do the work for us. And that is going to be, interestingly enough, through our Bechira, the greatest space created for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we ask, as David does, Kuma Hashem Nimnuchasecha Atorah V'aronuzecha, after we've done that work to create that space, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please populate that space, you and the Ark of your might. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.